Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family. Welcome. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Today is a wonderful and blessed Sunday. We have our host, Yaya Feeney, which I am definitely looking forward to this show. It is about children and the books that inspire them and the people who write the books that inspire them. We have several special guests tonight. Of course, we have Yaya Feeney. She'll be speaking about her up-and-coming book. So I'm looking forward to reading that. As you know, her Meaningful Mondays book is just powerful, everything in it. And it's not just for Monday, it's for every day. Just something to think about. We have Miss Emma Rogers and Miss Ashira, and I don't want to pronounce her last name, Toshwe. They founded Black Images Book Bazaar in 1977. They're going to be on the air as well. They're our special guest tonight. We also have Miss Ifolayo. She will be speaking about the special gifts that children have and their special needs. I will bring Yaya Feeney's mic up, and that way she can speak on some of the things that we're going to talk about. But before I do that, let me remind everyone, the call-in number is 310-742-1887, and you have to press the number 1 if you want to speak with any of the guests. If you have comments or questions, or you just want to speak on the subject, also, please go to www.yayafeeney.com. She is doing classes, and I'm going to speak on this a little later, but she has several classes that she's doing. You can find out about, she's a spiritual life coach. She's doing so many things, so many powerful things. And as I said, I will elaborate on that a little bit later, and I will let her speak on that as well. But for right now, I'm going to bring her up, and she's going to first start us off with a little meditation, and then we'll go into the show. I'd like to say thank you for tuning in, because I know you can tune in anywhere you want to on a Sunday. But thank you for tuning in to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. And Sister Yaya Feeney, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited.
Great. I am too. Do you want to start us off with a meditation?
Yes. Yes, definitely. That always helps us to just be nice and calm and relaxed. I just give thanks for each and every one of you that's listening live, as well as those in archives, knowing that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to come and be centered and be heard and to listen and to share in God's miraculous presence. So I just want you to, for a minute, just close your eyes and relax. And be present in this moment. And knowing that all of us are interconnected and interdependent, and all of us are connected by a link, a spiritual link, by our breath and by the intention that we have for the success of our lives. So just take a nice deep breath, a nice and slow breathe out, letting go all of the rushing around that we did to get to the show and the different things that we were involved in. Another breath, deep breathe in, and then breathe out again, nice and slow. And one last time to just breathe in nice and deeply. And then breathe out. I think today I'm going to do a different meditation. We usually just do a visualization. And we're going to visualize, of course, and I'm going to sing or chant a few stanzas of a song that will give us an opportunity to go into the energy of the mother, the nurturing mother, that all male and female have that ability to nurture. And so we're going to call that energy Yemonja. So I want you to just relax and visualize a blue energy over your head, nice light blue, circling lovingly, and then just coming down over your head, your face, your throat, and just enveloping you in a blue cocoon. Yemanja Sesu, Asesu Yemanja, Yemanja Sesu, Asesu Yami, Yemanja Olodo, Olodo Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo, Olodo Yemanja, Yemanja Asesu, Asesu Iyami, Yemanja Asesu, Asesu Iyami, Yemanja Olodo, Olodo Yemanja, Yemanja Olodo, Olodo Yemi.
Wow.
As you feel the energy of Yemanja, just know that you're safe and you're in a place opening up the nurturing aspects of your being. Wiggle your toes. Welcome back.
Wow. You know, that was different. I don't think we've ever done that on one of the shows before. But, you know, as I just close my eyes and listen, that would just soothe me and just mellow me out where I could just fall into a deep sleep.
Yeah.
I have to catch myself here. You know, there's a show going on because you can just get right into it. I'm going to have to come back to the archive just so I can listen to the beginning so I can mellow out and go to sleep tonight.
Yes, yeah, my just as soon as the energy that lulls us to sleep, she's the energy that we meet at where the river and the sea meet. And those waters are very healing. If you have an opportunity of going there, because it's the salt and sweet, sweet water. It's the challenges that we have in life that through the challenge we come out and find the sweetness in every opportunity, in every experience. So that's the chance of Yemanja Asesu.
Wow, very nice. Ooh, I like that. I mean, we might have to continue with that ritual there. See how I put you on the spot? But, okay, thank you very much to our lovely host. Thank you for that. That was something that's powerful and that's needed when you're in your, no matter what you're doing or where you are, that's something that you can feel the soothing energy from it. I love it. Okay, let's jump right into our show. Children, the word alone says so much. We're going to talk about books, spiritual gifts, and our children's special needs. Our discussion we have, like I said, we have several speakers who are going to come on, and we put out, if you receive the email from Yayafini, you know that there are about 8 things that we want to hit on. I'm going to, for the people in the archive and the people in the chat room, I'm going to actually read these so that, you know, as we go through them, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. The first one is how to keep that wonderful smile on your child's face that they had when they first realized the power of reading. We all know what that feels like. You know, even babies, we have little books for babies that we can go through, and they love it, love to hear you. Even when you're pregnant, you can read to your child. The second one is how to enhance the awareness of children with spiritual gifts and spiritual needs. The next one is, what is the best way to start a child reading? And then we have, how do you decide which books are better for children than others? And what do you base that decision on? I think that's the next one. Then we have, can a good and informative children's book be written by someone who has never had children? Then what guidelines can be used when choosing and encouraging children with special needs? Then we're going to discuss tools that can be used to keep children with special needs excited about reading. And we'll give a few tips on using your childhood as a guide to writing a children's book. So those are the surrounding, what we're going to surround our conversation on, the topics that we're going to surround our conversation on this evening. And I know that we have several callers, and I am going to ask that, I know that Emma and Ashira, I know that you two only have a little bit of time with us. So I'm going to ask if you could push the number 1, that way I can see that it's you online, and I can pull your mics up now. And I see that we have a caller, 214-769. I'm going to bring your call up now.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're on the Ask Yayafini show. Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Emma Rogers.
Hi. Hi, Ms. Rogers. This is Ruby. And as you can hear, Yayafini is on the line as well.
Welcome. Hi, Emma. Hello there. I love the meditation.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Happy belated birthday. You know we Virgos.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes, so, Ms. Emma, I would like to say welcome. And can you tell me a little bit about yourself before we really get into the deep discussion here?
Yes, well, Ashira, your other guest and I started Black Images Book Bazaar in Dallas, Texas in 1977. And we started our business because of our children. We wanted to find books that our children could read and enjoy. And we were approaching my son's 10th birthday, and I had to go to several stores to find books as party favors for the birthday. And I had to go to several stores to come up with just 10 books for his guest, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. So that's how Black Images was launched. We have since closed. We closed 30 years later. We were in business for 30 years. But we started off providing books that we wanted our children to read. Ashira has a daughter, and at the time I just had a son. So we wanted books that would where the children could see images of themselves, people who looked like themselves in the book, and books that taught good values and what have you. So that's how we launched our business.
Wow, so you've only been closed a short period of time.
We closed January of 77, so about 5 years, right. But we were very blessed to be embraced by the community and reach people all over the world, actually, and especially in the U.S. So we were very fortunate, and we love, absolutely love helping people make book selections, especially for their children, and encouraging their children to read, and asking them to be models for their children, because, you know, our children like to imitate what we do when they're young, and so we have to capture their attention when they're young, because when they become teenagers, they take a different position. But if they see us read the paper, reading books, reading magazines, they will model our behavior, even if the book is upside down. And I love what you said about reading the children even when they're in the womb, because that was one of the initiatives that I launched. Because it's so important for the children to hear your voice. You can be reading the newspaper, you can be reading a recipe book, or you can be reading something for pleasure or adventure, but as long as they hear that voice. And so when they come into the world and they see you reading, they want to do the same thing. And when you buy books for your children or take them to the library to get books, this is an investing in their future, investing in their education. You are telling them that education is very important, and you must be a reader. And in order to do anything in life, you have to read. If you're going to apply a new app on your phone, you've got to read the instructions and hit the right prompt. So reading is essential to living.
Yes, it is.
It's just like the air we breathe and the water we drink. It is essential.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. So do you go around teaching this to people? Are you a speaker? What are you doing right now? And do you have anything that's coming up?
Well, during the summer, we do a program. We call ourselves the Green Team, and we go around children to be good stewards of the environment, and we use a lot of literature to help them.
Great.
So we are approaching, we're continuing reading on being, ecological. So that's how we're approaching it these days.
Okay, and people the children are very receptive of this.
Oh, yes, indeed. We made up a song about reuse and recycle in our environment. We do this with children. We teach them about all kinds, like this last summer we taught them about safety, all kinds of safety. And we had literature to help them to know about safety, fire safety, water safety, safety around electricity, just all kind of safety issues, and we help them as they progress through life, mastering different skills that will make them productive citizens in this world, and we do it all through literature.
Okay. Well, if someone wanted to know about your program, how would they get in touch with you?
Okay, I can give you my email address.
Yes, ma'am, that's fine. If you could do that. All of our shows are archived, so we like to have our guests to give their information. So if someone misses the show, they can always go back and listen and get the information, and it's accessible to everyone. So if you could please give any information that you would like, you know, our listeners to have.
Okay, it's E as in Emma, S as in Sunday, Rogers, R-O-D, GERS1@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Was
Ashira on at the same time? Because they were supposed to come in at the same time. Is she on?
I don't see her hand. Miss Ashira, if you can hear us, if you have called in, if you could press the number 1, I can bring your mic up. I see we have several calls. I just don't see a hand raised. So to let me know that it's someone who wants to be on the air.
Her number is a 214 number as well.
Is it one off from yours?
Exactly.
Okay, then she is on the line. Let me bring her mic up and let me check one moment, and I will check to see. Mrs. Shira, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hi there.
Oh, welcome. Oh, the friendship. Yeah, I'm so happy to have y'all together again. The last time I saw y'all together was at Black Images.
Yes.
And this is such an honor.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show on such a very timely and interesting topic.
Yes. Do you have some things you want to share with us?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what Emma had said, really set the tone on the importance of reading and getting young people really interested. The one thing that I found in really exciting them is really the person that's reading to them. When you start reading to them at an early age, that bonding that is between a person who's reading, the parent is reading, is very important in sealing that joy and interest in reading. The other piece that I think is really interesting is animation. You know, when you're reading, if you can really, especially with the young children, and even as they grow older, that you can continue to be animated with the reading, that quickens a joy in them, even when they are older, I have found, because that grows into storytelling and et cetera. And that really interests the young reader to reading. And as Emma said, you really set the tone in the home by making reading an important value, you know, that, and you never really, I hear adults sometimes say, well, I just don't read. That's one thing that is, I would, you know, you should never really say in front of any children, and you should really check yourself on that, because they will echo that, you know, when you're trying to read. And to really make set a time, make it a set a time when it's just you and especially starting young person, that's your time to have together, you know, and that's that bonding time, so that the young person really looks forward to that time, and you're making it a fun time. And at the same time, by you maybe alternating reading, you're encouraging them to really get involved in the story. And I guess the other thing is, if you have young readers, and this is really fun for you too, and where you have a picture book, this is real young readers, and you get them to read the picture book to you, tell you what the picture book is saying. And those are some important things to really kind of excite the young reader at an early age, and then you start to build on that for them. And by help letting them choose their books, after a while, and young kids, they start to have interest. I know I had some grandsons who were very interested in dinosaurs, as young boys are. And so around those interests, you know, that furthers the reading interest when it's on a subject that they are really interested in.
Okay. Do you have any information that you want to give to our listeners in case they want to reach you and if they have questions for you? Or is it the same email address you just want them to get in touch with Ms. Emma?
Well, I have, after closing of our store, I relocated to Florida. So I am in the Florida, Fort Lauderdale area. And my email is A Tosihwe, TOSIHWE, at yahoo.com.
Okay, can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, can you say it again? And then just say the alphabet, the letter.
A as in apple. Mm-hmm. Tosihwe, TOSIHWE.
T like potato?
T as in Tom.
Okay.
O S I H W E at yahoo.com.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I am, and we have another guest that I'm going to bring her mic up now. And just as I push the button, Sister Esolayo, this is Ruby. You're on the air. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. Good to talk to you again. You can say hi to Sister Yeye Feeney, Miss Emma,
hello.
And Miss Ashira.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi. You can jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I actually know a little bit about you. I know you're a spiritual life coach and you're a mentor. You're trained in traditional African rituals. You're a private consultant. Do you want to fill in the blanks there for us, please?
Well, thank you. Yes, all of that, and I'm a Yoruba priestess, and I am proud to say that Yeye Feeney is my teacher and my godmother in my spiritual practice. And I also, by profession, I was a special education teacher and administrator for over 30 years. And so I'm really glad to be on the show here today.
Oh, okay. Okay, do you
come together?
Yes, it's great that we all can come together, definitely. Can you give your contact information?
Yes, my email is my name, F. O. Lyle, and I will spell that E as in egg, FUNLAYO, and the number 1, at bellsouth.net. F. O. Lyle 1 at bellsouth.net.
Okay, do you have any classes or any upcoming events that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. Actually, with Iolota Yeye Feeney, with the International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge, I'm one of the teachers of her curriculum, the Self-Empowerment Workshop Series. And those classes are ongoing classes. There's a set of 7 classes in the series on introductory level understanding of African spirituality. And anyone who's interested could contact me at that email address. You can also find a list of the classes on yeyefeeney.com. And I also offer spiritual consultations or readings, as we call them, if anyone would be interested in that.
Also, give some information about what you're doing with the Girl Scouts.
Oh, okay. I've been mentoring with the Girl Scout Council here in Broward County, Florida. And in that capacity, I teach journaling, genealogy, and stress management. And it's actually a grant that is from the Florida Department of Education that is funded through the Girl Scout Council here, where we go into middle schools. We actually have 4 middle schools that we're currently working with. And the mentors go once a week, and the girls are allowed to come from their elective classes to the meetings. So they're officially Girl Scouts, but we do the mentoring at the school. So it's during the school time, which is perfect because a lot of the young ladies would not be able to, after school, have transportation to get to an off-site location. So it's really wonderful that they were able to make that happen. So the journaling classes with them have been very, very successful. In fact, at one school, after the leader went and talked to the girls at the school, we had 75 girls that showed up for the first meeting. So it's a very, very good program, and it's really been exciting to work with those young ladies.
Great.
Yeah, this is amazing. All 3 of you have retired and not really retired.
We retire
when your life is your passion, then it's not work. It's just joy flowing over, because when I listen to all 3 of you, that's the energy that I'm getting, that y'all are so excited about sharing knowledge and information. Because I remember Ms. Toshiwe was at one time my babysitter for my children. And I remember she used to have this story that she would start, and she started out reading it one day in a book, and the book didn't, really was not in the book. But she had the book up to her, and she was reading this story. And every time that she would come to babysit, the story went on and on. So she started this game with them that they would end the story. They would end up the story where she started out with her ending the story. And they said, wait a minute. That was not the way the story ended the last time. And so she would have to correct herself and then add on to it. And then what she would do is every time that she would leave, each of my children would have an opportunity to end the story. That sparked an interest in my children for books. It really, really did. And for that, I have to thank you, Ms. Toshiway, for that. And to this day, my children still call her the bow-legged aunt. She made up this story about a bow-legged aunt. An aunt with bow legs. And till today, every time my children see her, they call her the bow-legged aunt. And I really believe that readers become writers. And the thing that Ifulaya is doing with journaling, this is allowing the children to have a value for their own story, for reading their own story and enthusiasm, so that they will in turn one day open up a bookstore like Emma and Ashira and teach reading and to write their own story and have value for their lives. So I am so excited about this. The three of y'all it just hit me. All three of you are retired, but you're not really retired. And all of you are around books, and that's why it's such a pleasure to have all three of you, you know, here. We covered kind of like a lot of the questions that we had, because how to start a child reading. Y'all covered all of that area. One of the things that, yeah, it's just amazing. This is just wonderful. I'm so excited about this.
And I wanted to know if I could add a couple of other things. This is Emma talking.
Yeah.
One, to give some parents, you're listening, some ideas. One thing that they could possibly do is start a book club. For example, when my daughter was in the fourth grade, we were the founders of a mother-daughter book club. And we would meet once a month with other girls and their mothers. And we kept this up from the fourth grade through the 12th grade. And the children would select books, or we would give them some suggestions, and then we would come together to talk about the book. And so that was a good way for us, for our children to meet other children who enjoyed reading and to parents who had the same values that we had, to think that reading was important. And then the other thing I wanted to suggest, and I'm sure people do it, but to give children books as gifts. And I know that we have all these tablets, we have the iPad, the Kindle, this and the all that. But there's still nothing like holding a book in your lap, reading it. And when you travel, you can't have all that electronic equipment on the airline. So it's very good to teach your children the value of having a small library, at least. And also going to a public library to get books. And then give books as party favors. You know, you take your children to all these places to have these fabulous parties. But you're sending imparting a good value when you encourage the other parents by giving books to their children to start their library.
Yes. Very, very good.
Yes.
And then also, you know, my grandchildren, I give them books every year. I give them gift cards to bookstores to go buy books. And like during the summer, if they've done something, we'll go to the book, because I think that's just so important. It can be a secondhand bookstore. It can be a traditional bookstore. But I think it's just so important that you lay the foundation for how important reading is, and buying books and reading books, and let them make their own selection.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. Okay, and you know, Yaya Fini is correct. Most of our questions have been answered here, but I think that we probably should go through a couple of them. But we're going to take a break for a moment, and I would like to say to everyone in the chat room, welcome. Thank you for your feedback. And Yaya Fini, someone said you have a really nice voice. I wanted to relay that to you. And they said, I love the song.
Oh, okay.
And,
you're welcome.
Yes. And what a, someone said, what a nurturing, loving, and embracing energy. I sent the blue energy to my sons as well. So those, that's what's being said in the chat room. And so, like I said, at this time, we're going to just take a break before we truly jump in here. And I just want to mention a couple of things about our wonderful host. There, she has a couple of upcoming events, classes, and things like that. She does, she on October 13th, and I'm not going to go through all of them. You can go to her website and go to the class and actually click on it and see what it's about. And please feel free to email her at any time at yayafeeny@bellsouth.net. She welcomes emails and she loves to talk to you. So please feel free to email her if you have any questions. You know, after you go on her website and see if there's classes or something you want to take, or you want to talk to her about, you know, consulting or coaching or anything like that. But just to name a few of the upcoming events that she's having, on October 13th, she's having, hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly, a feng shui class. And on October 14th, she's having the 28 hurricane ceremony. And she does this every second Sunday for the community. And I will let her elaborate a little bit more on that. But as I said, there's several classes. And if you go under her events, you'll see the events that are coming up, the different classes and things like that. And also, check out the shop. And what she has in her shop, when I first started working with her, I was a little amazed at the fact that, you know, she makes her own soaps, and she is just an amazing woman to me. She's a visionary, and she, whatever she envisions, she puts to use, and she puts it in her practices as to what she does. As you know, she has a DVD, and as I mentioned earlier, that Meaningful Monday book is very powerful. So that's something that you can look at as well. And you can check out the services that she has also. And you'll get a lot of knowledge. And you will be excited, probably just as excited as I am, been talking about her. So, okay, family. And let me mention the call-in number, 310-742-1887. Again, 310-742-1887. And you have to press the number 1, and that way I'll know that you want to speak. And please feel free to jump right in on the conversation that we're having. So, okay, the first question, and you all, since we have gone, have been speaking, you all may want to elaborate a little bit on it. And that question was how to keep that wonderful smile on your child's face that they had when they first realized the power of reading. I'm sure you all have a story, or you remember that expression from a child. Yayafeeny, do you want to start?
Yeah, I think that we pretty much kind of said that, because in everything that has been said here, it's about the exciting energy that we bring through reading, where children are seeing their parents reading. That's a bonding time. When children are involved with picking out their books at the bookstore, that's an exciting time, you know, that we
mm-hmm.
can really
mm-hmm.
keep that wonderful smile. And so Emma, in the suggestion that she gave, was just awesome in how to keep the children connected to books and to reading. It's to expose them to, I think it's just by creating an atmosphere of adventure, and that will keep them smiling. You know, that's the thing that you always, and then you connect to the things that the children are involved with. And you yourself as a parent, read the information, get more information on the subject that they're interested in, and then browse yourself a book and then plug that in. And I think that we pretty much covered that first one thoroughly, is that how do we keep that smile is by just engaging them and letting them see the beauty in books, how you can travel. You're sitting in your room reading and you're thousands of miles away visualizing something, and it just stimulates their curiosity, because children are curious because they're in the stage of recovery, of restoring their memory that they had in another incarnation. And so when they're blessed to come this incarnation and realize that, oh, my goodness, this is something new, they're always wanting to be curious. And so you make it an exciting time for them. And so that's the way that you keep that smile, is just continually make it like an adventure that you're going to read books. My 12-year-old grandson, that's what he told me when I asked him, what did he want for his birthday? And he is just in love with any type of big cat, panthers and lions and all of this. And so he texted me the other night, does Shango have any special powers in the panther, because that's one of his animals. And now he's showing love with it. So when I asked him whether he wanted me to get him for his birthday, I was just floored. He told me that he wants me to give him books that he can read about the legends of Shango. Shango is this mythological as well as spiritual Yoruba ancient king / god / spiritual energy that we all have. And at 12 years old, he just was 12 years old today, that's what he told me he wanted. I was like, oh, my goodness. So, of course, I went in my library and got about 5 books. And what I did was I Xerox copied, because there are different books at different levels. And he's an excellent reader. And so what I did was I zero copied some of the chapters from different books, and I made him a little book, and that's what I gave him. So he is curious about that, so he's going to be excited about the reading. And the 20 minutes that he's supposed to be or expected to read in the sixth grade is going to go on to an hour and a half. And so, as Emma was saying, put down the Kindle and all of that stuff. The children are actually interested in books that they can flip the pages and keep and start their own library. So I think that we pretty much answered that. Any of our panelists have something they want to add?
Yes, you know, once you introduce children to a favorite book, they will never forget it. Like you were talking about your son wanting to know books about Shango. I have adults who are 30 and near 40 who talk about the books that their parents bought them when they were children. They still remember Baby Leopard by Linda Goss, all these great African folk tales and black folk tales. And I think that when you introduce them to books that come to life and then you act them out, I think about Angela Shelf Medeiros is Dancing with the Indians, and how you can just act all of those out, or the African folktale Too Much Talk. When you act these out, this just invigorates the child and lets their imagination run wild. And when you bring reading to them on that level, that helps them to seek more books that will enlighten them, more books that will be adventurous, more books that will be fun. And so,
that's right.
And I know a young man who's in his 40s, and he still talks about Little Tuffy and his ABCs. It was published by Johnson Publishing Company. But these children still remember these, and they're adults. They're parents now. They still remember these books that brought life to them, that made reading just fabulous.
This is Ethel Lyle. I love it. I have a story to relate. One of my brothers and I had a fight over a book that my mother used to read with us when we were children. I found the book in my mother's things, and I said, oh, look, I found this book. Do you remember? And he said, yeah. So we were fighting over which one of us was going to get to have the book to read to our children. And since I'm the oldest, I pulled rank on my brother. Now here we're 40-something years old, right? And so what I told him, I said, well, I'm going to find you a copy of the book. So fortunately, I was able to Google, and I got him an exact copy of that book, and gave it to him. And the thing that was so amazing to me is that when I gave him his book, he was sitting with his wife, and he handed her the book, and he said, read to me. And he sat there just like he did when he was a little boy while she read him that book, and it was just amazing. So the thing about it is, can you imagine when he in turn is reading that book to his children, the energy that he passes on from that loving memory he had of his mother reading to him, as well as the joy he got out of that story. So I'll never forget that. I just think it's amazing. And to me, it also is a way to say, if we run into people who say they just don't read, ask them, do you have any books from your childhood that you remember that you enjoy? And encourage them to go find copies of those books. And then maybe that can help them connect back to their own reading experience early in life, and then begin to share that with their children.
That's amazing. That's the same thing. The same thing we have in our family. When I went to my son's house, he had it, and it's this book that is about Chinese stories. And the one that they love was, they call it The Sausage Nose, but it's about the three wishes. And when I went there, I saw the book, and he says, yeah, I got it. He had the book, and the book had all of the foods marks on it, and, I mean, the cover was, it's still intact, but it just had all of the things that they went through in touching and handling the book. And his face, it just lit up, just like you said, Efolayo. Right now, if I could call Nika and have him on this call, he would say, yeah, I got the book. They didn't get it. So his sisters don't have the book. They know that he has it, but he has not given it to them. So he reads the books to his children. I wish I could call him right now. Yeah, that's really good.
That same book, my brother, I did get him a copy of it, but I have the original. I read it to my son, and now I'm reading it to my grandson.
Wow. Whoa. Amazing. Yes. And I think that when children have challenges in school and they're saying that their reading level is not up to par, it's because they don't have a library of their own. They don't have parents that they're mimicking at home. They don't have stimulating books that they can imagine being out of that classroom. They don't have a book when you go to the every year I work at one of my grandchildren's school during the library month. And they have this workshop. I mean, the entire month is about coming in the media center and working around books and in helping them. And I do all types of colorful things to get them connected to African stories. But in that, the children, the books that I see in the bookstore, in the libraries, don't have any connection to most of the African-American children. And so when they're saying that the children are not interested in reading, the children are not interested in the books that they have in the library. So we have to go outside, as Emma is saying, and introduce something, you know, by creating our own book clubs and having our children becoming avid readers. But when you look in the libraries of your schools, you can request certain books to come to your school, because if your child does not see him or herself in that book, he's going to be bored, and then he will have challenges of always falling behind. Because as Emma said and everyone reiterated, if you are not reading, you are not functioning, because every aspect of your life is about reading. So that's a major skill that you have to survive.
And, you know, some children are reading late, because I can recall parents or aunts and uncles coming into the store. They may have the niece or the nephew for the summer, and they would bring the niece and nephew into the store, and they would say, and the niece and nephew would say, I don't read. I said, just turn them over to me. And so with that attitude, I would turn them on to Alexis Rohn's work, Premature Pleasures. She has a trilogy of books, and Back Seats and Bleachers, and another title. But the thing is, all children haven't been fortunate to have parents to introduce them to reading, because perhaps they've just been too busy. But then when you get them as a preteen or a teenager, you have to find a book. You have to meet them where they are and find a picture that will capture their attention. And then once you do that, then you can get them to read the literature that you want. But the main thing is you want them reading. That's the main thing.
Oh, wow. This is, I love this. This is
I would just like to add, too, to piggyback on that, is that sometimes parents might have a hard time, especially now, finding books that mirror those images. You know, the bookstores may not have them now, and some of the libraries. So there are some resources to get them an idea of what is available that some of the parents or relatives can go online and just look at the Caldecott Medal Award books that are listed. These are quality books that the American Library Association has awarded, the Coretta Scott King Award books. And they can go on www.scholastic.com resources, and they even have a list.
Can you spell that out slowly, please?
Okay. www.scholastic, scholastic.com/resource. And that same website also have a listing of some African-American books that give a parent some idea, you know, of what to look for.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay. You know, another way is when my children were younger and I went up to their school, I used to volunteer at their school, tell the children a story and then have them tell you a story and have them write it out. And I used to give an assignment. After I would tell them a story, I would say, you know, next time I come, it would really be nice if I could have you tell me a story. So write out just a little story for me, just to talk to me and read it to me. And that would get them into writing their own little stories and being able to stand up in front of people and read it. And it would make them take a little time and a little pride in writing and being able to read what they've written to you. And it make them choose, it helps them to choose words that they may not ordinarily say because they want to impress when they stand up and read it. And it gets them into reading. And that's something I used to do with the younger kids, and I used to love it. And they used to love that. And
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. This is Ethel. I really like that. And to take it a step further as well, for pre-readers, for children who are not yet reading, you can do the same thing and let them dictate the story to you and you write it. And it helps that child who is not yet writing or reading to connect the fact that their words have meaning and then to understand that the words they see on the paper have meaning and they make that personal connection because they're dictating the story to you. And a way to get them started if you have a child who is maybe not as imaginative as other children would be to take their favorite toy and tell them to tell you about that toy and how they feel about it, and then you write that and you let them see that this word is this what you said, and that kind of thing is a way to connect even pre-readers to that same process that is so powerful.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, before we go to the next question, we have a caller online who may have a question or a comment or just want to add something. I'm going to bring that caller up now. Let's see. Caller number 219-884, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon.
I've
been sitting here listening to a wonderful symposium, and I think I concur with all that has been said. The only comment I would like to make is that as a retired teacher, I can remember doing all the things that you have said. And one thing I'd like to point out that when you involve youngsters, you can involve them. They always are involved with their senses. Anything that they can see, hear, and touch really has a great impact on them. And spiking their interest and imagination helps them develop listening habits. And the one thing that really spikes imagination is really to listen without seeing. Those of us who were back in the radio days can remember listening to all of the good stuff over the radio and remembering all of the stories, you could almost see it in your mind. So an imagination is a fertile field that we can extend upon. And the next thing I would like to comment on is books are tangible, and it's wonderful if we can keep on having them as tangible items. Because to lose the book, it seemed like it's something lost not only in our society, but in part of our development. It might be nice for you to develop maybe literacy coalitions in your area, recycle books that you have done with your children, give them away, maybe set up a center, whether you have one already, that's often always a place to put them, so that you can have them circulate around in your community. And if you ever have the libraries closing or things like some I do in this area, that's kind of disheartening to me. But keep them reading, and I think you're on the right track. Thank you very much for having this comment.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. That's amazing. Ooh, I'm so excited. The next one is about special children with special gifts, spiritual gifts. I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah,
Sheila, did anyone ever come into the store telling you that their children had special gifts or something like that? And what direction before that, I'm jumping ahead. I would love if y'all could give us a list of maybe just off the top of your head, because I know y'all are book archives, of some authors, just their last names, of books that parents could go and find that would be stimulating to children.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
Yes.
For your third, fourth grader readers up, Eleanor E. Tate. One of my favorite books by her is Thank You, Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's not dealing with Dr. Martin Luther King, it's dealing with the child in school and how she needs to work on her self-image. For the younger readers, I would recommend the Afrobet books by Cheryl Willis and Wade Hudson. They have any number of books for preschoolers all the way up to middle school. For your young teacher books, I would recommend Carol Boston Weatherford. For all age readers, I would recommend Walter Dean Myers. He has books from preschool all the way up, and his son Slade even illustrates some of the books. Virginia Hamilton. Those are just a few I can think off of the top of my head. But for your teenagers who say they don't like to read, your what I call your little hoochie mamas in waiting, I recommend Alexis Roan, Alexus Roan, Rhone, Premature Pleasures. And I guarantee you, if they read her book, they'll get hooked. And then we have books by Stephanie Perry Moore for the young little sisters and for the older sisters, and they're Christian-based books. And those are just a few of the names off the top of my head.
Good.
I could think of, I don't know if she mentioned Mildred Taylor.
Oh, yes.
She had a series of books. Mildred Taylor, Hear My Cry. Christopher Paul Curtis is another good book for young readers, not really middle readers. All I can think of the top of my head for young readers.
And B.B. Moore Campbell wrote a few books for young readers, too. Sometimes My Mama Gets Angry, and then she wrote a book for children about a child who has a mother who's bipolar.
Yeah.
That's what we want. The next question is addressing those types of special needs as well as spiritual gifts of the children. Those are wonderful, invaluable books right now, because the percentage of children who are born with mental challenges, our spiritual challenges are sometimes are in a vacuum all by themselves, and we don't have as many books as we could. So any information that you can give us on authors that address those types of things would be fabulous. And if you can't remember them now, we will, of course, have them, we can have them, you can email them to me, and then I will make sure that it's accessible, because what I'm trying to do for the next show, which is the first of next month, is to actually read to children, have a story hour for the children, and this is where we would get very descriptive in reading the stories and changing our voices and really capturing their imagination. So that's what I want to do for next month. And because we were trying to do it at the same time segment, and it would be just too much to have the children waiting. So that would be amazing, Emma or Ashira, if y'all could get us a list of those books or any authors that you know, or any website we could go to maybe address the special needs children and the children with special and with spiritual gifts. So that would be amazing. So thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, this is wonderful. I heard you mention a book in reference to young ladies and self-esteem. I have a mentoring program that I do with young ladies, and that's one of the main problems, one of the main issues that they go through is self-esteem. And so I try to talk them through it and work with them. So this book, the book that you mentioned, I'm going to have to look that up and see if I could find it, definitely. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Yes, I love books. I have a children's book that I've written. One of the things I like about, you know, certain books is the values and the morals that it teaches, and that's something that some of our books don't have now, the books that the children will pick up. They don't have that in there where it's fun to read, because they don't know that they're reading about values and morals. They just know that the child in the story knew that this wasn't the right thing to do, that he had mm-hmm. to think about it and see how he felt about it and that type of thing. That's all they know. But in turn, mm-hmm. it teaches them. And a lot of our books don't have that now.
Yeah, because everybody thinks that the vampire stories, you know, is what the children really want to be about, but we have to, so that's good. So the next, I'm so excited, I'm just jumping, my head is just going like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I think we're done with all except like two or three questions.
Yeah, so the next one was about the children with special needs.
Yes.
Efolayo, we're asking you, because that was your area of expertise, and you still are doing it now, how God has brought someone like that into your life. So can you share with us, please?
Sure, I'll be glad to. As I said earlier, my background and training was in special education, and I was a special education teacher and administrator for 30-plus years. And then when I became a grandmother after my retirement, I have a grandson who has special needs. And it's really was an amazing experience for me to welcome him into our lives, because most of my career I had very few family members that ever needed the types of services that I had been trained to offer or the advices that I gave to other family members. And then here, this child comes, and he is someone that I am able to assist and help his parents to understand what his needs are, and being able to be a part of his life and seeing him develop and being a part of his education and training has been really a blessing, because I thought it was done with all that, but I guess God saw fit to have me to use the expertise that I developed to help other people. And one of the most important things I want to say is that children that have developmental challenges or children that have spiritual gifts are children first, you know, and that's so important, and it's one of the things that I try to impress upon people all of the years that I was working as well, is that they are children first and their special needs or special considerations are secondary. And if we keep that in mind, then we don't get into making them feel different or odd or weird or strange or what have you, because we all know that young children are very, very in tune to how people think and feel about them and to the energies all around them, whether they're labeled as having special spiritual gifts or not. And so that is the most important thing. And so the same things that we've been talking about throughout this whole conversation apply to children the same. And so there needs to be exposed to reading and be expected to become literate, and things of that nature are the same as any other child. So in the beginning, what we want to do is first look at when you have a child that you suspect has special needs or that has a diagnosed special need, is to understand the child's developmental level. And it's something that you can talk to your pediatrician about or talk to the child's teacher if they're in any kind of early intervention, preschool, or school-age program if you don't know yourself. And if that's something that is not that you're unable to do for any reason, there are many, many books in the library as well as websites online that you can go and get basic developmental checklists, and then you yourself can look and see a ballpark figure of where that child is developmentally. And the reason that you want to do that is so that you pick a book that is something that the child will be able to grasp if you're going to look at reading to them, so you're not sitting down reading a heavy-duty novel-type book to a child who developmentally is not able to comprehend that information. Now, that does not take away from the fact that, as we said earlier, that reading to a child, regardless, it's about them being close to you and connecting with you and hearing the sound of your voice, but you also, for them to have a full range experience, you want them to be able to be involved. And so the other thing to consider is what was said earlier as well, is tap into the child's interest. Find out what they enjoy, what do they like to do, and then get books that capitalize on what it is they enjoy doing. And just to give you an example, my grandson, who is 4 now, when he was very young, we started trying to read, you know, the traditional bedtime story to him, and he wasn't interested in books at the time, and so you could only capture him for a minute if you were lucky. And so when you have a child who's either very young developmentally or chronologically, you work with them where they are. You have the books available to them. You try to find something they're interested in. So my grandson loves cars and has from day one. And so you find a book that has some cars in it, and he'll at least come over, look at the car, and then if he wants to go away, fine. But you keep giving him the opportunity to come to the book to see the car. And then gradually that child will acquire an interest, and you draw them into different aspects of the object that they're interested in. So now at age 4, he loves books. And we've expanded that to other things that I'll touch back on a little bit later. But pay very close attention to whatever they might be interested in, whether it's music or animals or different textures or things like that. And then one of the other things is, with since I mentioned attention span, you're not expecting the child to sit and listen to an entire story. If you get them to come and look at one page or to listen to one page, start there, and then that gives you something to build on, because you don't want to make the reading experience something that's going to bring anxiety to the child, because that's just going to defeat the purpose of you trying to get them to appreciate and to love reading. So always work with them where they are. And remember, the focus is on the child and not on the fact that you want them to be involved in the book. So if they can just look at one page, then let them look at the one page. And the other thing would be to make sure, especially with a child who may have some developmental challenges, is turn off the TV, turn off the radio, so that they can focus on the one thing that you're doing, as opposed to, you know, their senses are drawn into everything that's in the environment that may distract them from that activity that you're trying to get them to engage in. Another way to enhance the opportunity for children that may not be interested in book is most kids nowadays are real into stickers. And so go take them to the store, let them pick out some stickers based on their interest, and then use that as a bridge to go to other stickers that you might draw them into. And then just get a plain old spiral notebook or some other plain book, and then tell stories about the stickers and stick them in the book, and then you can write the name of whatever the pictures are on the sticker. And that's another way to get them more involved and then transition that into other kinds of books that you might be interested in the child looking at. And then you can also take pictures of family members or pictures of familiar objects. So if your child has a favorite teddy bear, take a picture of the teddy bear. Go print it out and then make a book and write a story about their favorite teddy bear or something that they enjoy playing, something else they enjoy and play with. Or maybe if you have a family member that, you know, is one of their favorite people, you know, tell a story about that person and put their picture there. So, you know, you just have to get real creative when you have a child that requires you to be, you know, a little more creative and spontaneous in what you do. And for children that have special spiritual gifts, we're talking about kids that are very sensitive to psychic energy, children who are very intuitive on different levels. And what you want to do there is to make sure that you choose books that are predictable, because so much of what children that have these gifts and talents are experiencing is different, and there may not be answers to the questions about what they're experiencing. And so you want to make sure that you pick books for them that are predictable, so it gives them a sense of grounding in reality. And that doesn't mean that you cannot expose them to books that are fantasies, but you want to, depending on how much experience the child has, because another experience I've had with my grandson is he used to have night terrors. And we knew that it was because he was seeing spirits in the environment. And so we had to do things to take care of that. But also we wanted him to realize that there are some predictable things that we can do in his waking days so that, you know, these night terrors would not frighten him. And so children that see spirits and things of that nature, you want to make sure that they have a sense of grounding. And just to backtrack a little bit, one of the things that I want to say is that it's important that any book that you are choosing for a child at any level, that you read the book first before you expose it to your child, because you want to be sure that you agree with the material that's being presented in that book. And even if it's a book from your childhood that you enjoyed, you want to read that book again and look at it with new eyes so that you make sure that this is something you want to expose your child or your grandchild or a child that you have in your life, that you want to expose them to that. And with that, I'm talking a lot about fairy tales and things of that nature, and especially when you're dealing with children that have spiritual gifts and talents, be very cautious about exposing them to books that have things such as witches and goblins and fairies and things of that nature, because those things are real. And if your child, even if they haven't expressed to you, if you think there's a possibility that your child is seeing these kind of things or experiencing that kind of energy, that you don't want to make reading something that brings them anxiety because they don't understand it. And the other thing is that you want to be sure that you're okay with accepting those things as part of your child's potential reality, so that you don't portray to them that it's okay, you're reading these stories, but yet it's something that you don't believe in or whatever. So that is very, very important. And so with that, in terms of using those guidelines to help you choose the books, you can read anything to your child that has special needs or your child that has spiritual gifts, as long as you are prepared and understand the topic yourself and that you're comfortable with it. Now, for children who are intellectually advanced, you want to also be careful and select books that are age appropriate for them on an emotional level. So you may have a child who's very advanced in reading, and they may be in the fourth grade, they're living reading on the seventh or eighth grade level or whatever level, but you want to be sure that those books also are something that on an emotional level that they're able to comprehend in their leisure reading. You want to be careful of that. And so one of the things you want to also do for a child that has any kind of special concerns is to develop a relationship with the child's teacher if they're in school. If they have therapy of any kind, you want to talk to their therapist and make sure that you get information to them on them of what they might have to offer you in terms of resources for the types of books that you're looking for your child. And develop a relationship, as was spoken of earlier, with your local bookstore owners or in the children's department in the bookstore that you frequent, and especially at your public library, because those are your resource people to help you to find the books that you need in addition to your doing your own searches. And then you want to, as was stated earlier, you want to follow specific authors that you can introduce and be comfortable with the literature that they put out. And then with the gift-giving of books, I think that is just amazing, because so many times people are focused on buying toys and other items for children, but giving them books in addition to whatever toys or clothing or whatever you might want at any age, I think is just a phenomenal thing, that no matter what else you're giving, they also get a book. And then keep books in the car. You know, so when you're riding in the car, instead of turning on the DVD player in the car, or if you have that, or just blasting the radio, you know, do books in the car, as well as you can do books on tape. One of the things I used to do when we traveled by a car a lot when my son was younger, we always did books on tape. And someone mentioned that earlier about getting children tuned in to listening, you know, as opposed to always having to see a moving image or movies and things of that nature. So those were just some of the things that I wanted to bring out in terms of dealing with children that have special gifts and talents, as well as special developmental needs.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much, Ms. Wunayo, for that, that information.
Yes, thank you. And I think this will be a good time to take another break. Yefini, I have Sister Tina in the chat room. She says hello to you.
Yes, hello.
And I have, I think it's Sister Tina. She says, I love the show. I homeschool my teen boys, and they love to read and write.
Great. Yes, she has twins.
Yes, she said her teen boys. So, Yefini, before we go to the next question, would you tell us a little bit about what you're doing? And I asked everyone else, and I did not ask you. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and your some of your upcoming events.
Oh, it's just all types of stuff. If you go to my website, you can see we have a feng shui. I'm not actually teaching a feng shui class, but a feng shui master. She's coming to my office. We're doing a nice two-hour workshop. I'm also doing mediumship training. You can register for all of these on my website or send me an email to yayefini@bellsouth.net. We have upcoming raw food workshop coming up in November, as well as, but if you go, the tab to press when you go to yayefini.com is where is Yayefini, and each month you'll see the different areas or the different things that I am doing. I'm currently also preparing for the SEW, for the self-empowerment workshop, which we have biannually, and it's an empowerment retreat for 6 days, and it is done here in Florida. I started out doing it in Jamaica, and it is actually an opportunity for us to tap into some of the issues and the trauma. It's actually about spiritual healing through ceremonies, rituals, and allowing and awakening your spirit, your guide, the energy, your ancestors. And in this gift and this workshop that the ancestors gave to me, we transform really people or the initiate from coming from a place of feeling as a victim of molestation, rape, abuse, transatlantic trauma. There are so many issues that as African-American people and people in general, but most this is this particular journey, SEW, is primarily addressing the trauma of the African-American community. And when you are involved in this particular initiation or ceremony or process for the 5 days, you're able sometimes for the first time to really connect and feel your ancestors, feel them through possession, through spiritual connection to their pain and their issue that you have inherited. And so when you're healed in a ceremony and that you're not only healing yourself, but some of the pathology that you have inherited knowingly and unknowingly from the dysfunctioning of our families. And so it's a very powerful thing, and we're having it this year in December, and that also is there. But you're not able to register for that because it takes 8 months for you to register and prepare for this because there are classes and that. But if you're interested, the next one will be in July, and you'll be able to register for that. But with the ongoing classes and that, you can find that information. I'm excited about that, that we have our initiates coming through in December. The thing that I'm also, that you mentioned at the beginning, is I'm actually putting my first children's book out, and the title is Why My Grandchildren Chose Me. And this book is actually about why is it that the grandchildren that I have 6 grandchildren, and why is it that they chose me? Because the gift that they brought me has been so amazing. I have changed, I have transformed through the birth of each of these children, because they have brought me an opportunity for me to see face up, some of the things that I have to heal with my own children. These children have brought it as a gift to me in their birth, in me having an interaction with them. It awakened certain things that I did not get an opportunity to do, or I had the opportunity and did not do it because myself, I was busy just trying to raise myself while I was raising my children. And so my grandchildren have awakened me and opened me up to a place where I can acknowledge and look back and say, you know what, I need to correct this because we need to stop this in our family. We need to stop allowing ourselves to be victims. And through my children, each one of my grandchildren are in this book, and they have, you will get to know them in terms of the gifts that they have. And it's just an amazing book. I'm so excited about it. I'm in the process, and I'm looking for, if there's anyone out there, I'm looking for someone to do the illustration for me, because the book is already done. I just need someone to illustrate for me, because I want it to be a storybook, but I want it also to be a coloring book where the children can color my grandchildren and have a dynamic interweaving of what it is that it takes to have a family. And so in my family, we have different races, different cultures, different belief system. All of that is going to be in the book so that whoever is reading this book can see, oh, wow, we have that in my family. And the beauty of it, of what it is to have a biracial grandchild and what it is to have a grandchild from another culture, what it is to have a grandchild that speaks patois, all of that we have at family reunions and family gatherings. And so what is the benefit, what is the beauty that these grandchildren have brought me in appreciating their parents and the choices that their parents made? So I'm so excited about that book. So my first children's book, Why My Grandchildren Chose Me. So that's an upcoming thing. But go to my website, and you can see all of the good stuff that I'm doing and just facilitating and helping. The upcoming winter solstice fast is coming in December, and we're looking for that, again, looking towards that for a 2-week fast to allow us to really use juices, to use food as our medicine and make our medicine our food. So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
Also, can you tell us a little bit about your institution?
Okay, the Institute, the International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge, had to start that. As a matter of fact, it was started in Dallas, Texas, because I had students all over the world, and they were getting the same information over and over whenever I was available. But whenever I was not available, it was just falling in the cracks. And so the organization was started by Ms. Toshiwe, as well as Olubusho, Obalofunye Yi, and some of the other students in Dallas, Texas, and they came together and said, why don't you duplicate what you're doing by training us and opening up other study groups. And so we started the study groups, and now we're in 6 different cities that people who are interested in learning spiritual development, introduction to African spirituality, introduction to ancestral reverence, how to set up an altar, how to honor your ancestors, introduction to Obi divination, introduction to Yoruba cosmology, what days of the week can you wear a color, use a particular essence, and say an affirmation and pour libation and go look for a job and it falls right in your lap. Those are the types of things that we teach in the different cities. And now with modern technology, we're able to teach it on Skype and that. And my students now are teaching these in the different cities, in Dallas, Texas, in Cincinnati, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit, North Carolina. It's everywhere. So that's the International Institute, IIASK. And you can friend our page and on Facebook, or just send information if you're interested to IIASK2005@yahoo.com if you're interested in any information about the Institute. I have some exciting classes coming up, and these I will be teaching. I will be teaching priesthood classes, and these are for priests, as well as we have some classes that are not are for the general public or people who are interested in specifically Ifa, Yoruba, Lukumi spiritual practice. So those also will be going up, and the priest class will be only by reference. It's not open to all priests. It's only open to people who I know that I can vouch for, validate in terms of that. So if anyone is interested in knowing who you are in that, then, of course, go again to IIASK2005@yahoo.com or either yeyefini@bellsouth.net. My name, yeyefini@bellsouth.net.
Okay. Okay, well, we're getting down to our last few questions. And if we'll
do you have anyone in the chat room that's interested in asking any questions?
No, I just checked, and I actually just sent them people in our chat room. Hello. We love you, family, in the chat room. I have actually just sent a message saying if you have any questions, you can type them here or call in. And right now, there are no questions, and I would like to give out the call-in number again.
That's 310-742-1887. Family, that's 310-742-1887. And press the number 1,
and I'll know that you want to come on the air and speak to our guest. And this, our next question has been answered, and that was, what guidelines can be used when choosing and encouraging children with special needs?
I'm sorry.
You're asking me, or who are you asking?
No, I think that question has already been answered, unless someone wants to elaborate on that.
I would like to elaborate a little.
Okay, sure.
Yes, I think sometimes when we have children with special, with spiritual gifts, is that what you ask for, spiritual gifts or special?
Special needs. You can answer both.
Okay, I will let Efolaya answer on the special needs, but the spiritual gifts, I think that when we have children who, quote unquote, see spirits or feel or tell you, mommy, I feel like somebody's in the room, and you say, oh, no, it's not real, or they have a place. A friend that no one knows, or what do you call it, an invisible friend, and those things, that's actually children with sight. Children with sight meaning that they have their intuitive ability so heightened that they are in a realm where they can communicate and converse with spirit, and that's real. Because according to the belief system that I have as a Yoruba, we believe that spirit and human beings, we inhabit the same plane. We inhabit the same plane. We're just in different forms. One is in an ethereal form, which would be like a smoke or in just an energy, and then we are physical. And so the spirits come around us because sometimes they're so close to us, and if you're sensitive and you have a child that is sensitive to it, you have to listen and hear what they're saying. Don't dismiss it. and feel like, oh, this is crazy, or that's devil worship, or that's insane, or take them and let them get some type of medication. You have to really address what it is that they're seeing. Get them into journaling, and if Olayo can give a little more into that, get them into journaling, as well as open your own, as a parent, open your own spiritual connection to what it is that spirit is by investigating, looking at, finding places or ways that you yourself will be able to tap into your own spirituality, to your own gifts. Because we have been deprogrammed as children sometimes to believe that that's crazy, it's always in your, it's in your mind, and you suppress it. And then it goes into all types of traumas where you push, you find yourself as a young adult using drugs to kind of lessen the voices or lessen the energies that come in. And then you have children who are bipolar, that you have energies that are coming in, and there is a, you're kind of like in a realm of like in limbo in terms of, are you on the physical plane or are you connecting to the spiritual plane? It's very important for us to not dismiss that because it is very real. And we should not allow any fear or any dogma to scare us from believing that sometimes we give birth to children that are more intuitive than us or than the average. And so that's very important. I remember one of my children had an invisible friend, and her name was Miss Olivosha. And she used to run around and say, Miss Olivosha is here, and she's doing this and that, and we just included Miss Olivosha. And so it was maybe about when she got about 11 or so, she stopped speaking about Miss Olivosha, and we were good with that too. And then one day, she must have been about in junior high school, and we went for a spiritual investigation. And the woman told her and described this woman to her. And she said, that's her. Yeah, yeah, that's Miss Olivosha. And the woman described exactly the spirit that had been playing with my daughter since she was about 4. And so today, my daughter, who is a practitioner, she invokes Miss Olivosha in everything that she does. This is a spirit that she had in another incarnation that has always been with her and allows her to travel the world. And my daughter travels a lot. And so you never want to dismiss those things like just saying it's foolish or stupid, or you have to learn how to sleep in a room that's dark and the child is telling you that they can't sleep in a room that's dark. Some children need a light, and we need to listen to them when they're telling us what it is they require to have balance and to have peace on this material plane. So that's what I wanted to say. And if I want to add to that in terms of children with special needs, please do.
Yes, I would like to say something, and I'm so glad you went into that. We probably need to have a special show on just on that topic. But children with special needs, I have found in my experience, I've worked primarily with in my early career with children with mental retardation. They are very spiritually attuned. And one of the reasons that I believe that they have demonstrate delays is because they don't know how to communicate what it is they're experiencing. And so in observing their behaviors, you can see that they have a sensitivity to the environment and to other people, but you have to be willing to recognize that that is what is happening. And many times their reactions and things cause people to think they're strange, but what it is they just don't know how to manage themselves other than by what they feel and what they see. And I remember also dealing with some children, and then I experienced it also with my own son in terms of things that children watch on TV, even in cartoons. There, if you've watched cartoons lately, there's a lot of spiritual There are a lot of spiritual secrets and things that are being portrayed in children's television today. And so you have to really be aware, just like I said earlier about reading the book before you expose it to your child, you have to look at these shows before you expose expose them to your children. And you may mm-hmm. not understand why the child is behaving in a certain way. With my son, there used to be a show back in the 80s that was called, this cartoon called Skeletor. Well, to me, a cartoon is something that I used to think was funny. Well, this show was not funny at all, and he was having these nightmares. And so all the children were having these toys, you know, everything that comes out, they make these toys to go along with the stories and whatever. So the kids in the neighborhood, they all had these Skeletor toys and everything, and so he kept begging and begging for it. So we got him the Skeletor toys. Well, about a month after that, we had to take those toys away. And so I had to have the conversation with my son because his behavior was off and he wasn't sleeping at night and all these things. And so the day I set him down to tell him, look, you know, your dad and I decided that maybe the Skeletor thing is affecting you, you know, in the wrong way, and we think we need to put those toys up. And here we, my son is very strong-willed. We thought he was going to put up a protest. He said, okay, Mom, and that was it. He was glad to get rid of them, but he didn't know how to tell us. And so you have to really observe and pay attention to what's happening to your child so that you know if these things are adversely affecting. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, for your child. And so, you know, there was they were talking a lot about dead spirits and ghosts and all these things in this TV program. And, you know, everybody's into this vampire thing and Harry Potter and all of that. Some children, that is so real to them that they have a hard time, you know, being able to deal with it. And they're trying to act like they're okay because the other kids think they're okay or the parents think it's cool. And the child is struggling with it. So we really have to be more aware, as Yefini is saying, of observing our children's behavior and monitoring what it is that they are viewing on TV. So it's not just about sex and violence. It's about, you know, other kinds of energies as well. And then helping that child to, yeah, validate them, you know, in their experience, but also begin to talk to them about it so it's not just shoved under the table.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one thing I'd like to say to add to that, too, is that when you have a child that says, oh, no, I don't like scary movies, or I don't like to go out on Halloween to the spooky house, don't pressure them and say, oh, you're a man. Come on, boys, you should be able to go. Come on, let's do this. You have to listen to them and embrace what it is that they're telling you versus trying to give them what your concept of what they should be like in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a grandson that he will not, no, he's not interested in any of those kind of things, and that does not make him any less than his friends. He just not does not like it, and we have to respect that. And, of course, me and his mom and our in my family, we understand spirituality, but you can hear other people say, oh, let the child go on. Oh, come on, you get over it. Come on, let's go in here. Oh, you're chicken or whatever, but to encourage him to voice, to state their truth and hold to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that brings up the subject of children being expressing their desire not to be around certain people. And it could be a family member or someone who's close to the family. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's that person specifically, but it could be an energy that walks with that person or an entity that walks with that person that the child is reacting to. And that's another thing we have to be really, really careful about, watching children's reaction. And if they don't want to go sit on somebody's lap or give so-and-so a kiss, we have to really be careful with how we're managing those kind of things in our children, with our children.
Okay. Miss Emma and Mrs. Shira, I'm going to pull on your knowledge and the fact that you ran a bookstore and you dealt with children. I'm sure you've had experiences like this where people have come and talked to you about these issues. When you talk to them, do you have books that you recommend on the subject? Hello?
Yes. One of the things that an experience that I can remember on such a thing is one parent came into the store pretty much in tears because her child was in school, and this was a special ed child, and they had to put the child back, and they did not have any encouragement for her, and she was just really in tears because, you know, she wanted to help her son. And we were able, what we suggested to her is that, you know, she start to, like we mentioned before, start to read with the child, and we gave her some books at the time, and just start taking time and reading with him. Well, long story, short story, she began to do that diligently, and the child began to respond. And what he was responding to, one, was the interaction with her, and two, was that she was able herself to begin to take control of her child's learning and not feel so much like a victim. And so the child began to improve. And as the story ended, the child advanced a couple of grade levels with her interaction with that. So there are, the book is important, but I think as Ephelio has mentioned, you know, the type of things that you do, that interaction, that paying attention, and that not accepting maybe a defeating attitude from your school provider and yourself begin to take initiative with your own children is very important for their growth and development.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Emma.
Yes.
Emma still here?
Yes, I'm still here. I didn't have anything to add.
Oh, I wanted to ask you a question in that I saw the other day that I know that you take children to Africa to the dungeon. I don't call it the castle. And to the door of no return and your rites of passage and the things that you've done even with your daughter. Do you find that some children are a little more susceptible or feel that energy when they go in there, or do you find that all of the children are the same?
Well, I think it just opens their eyes. It helps them to see how the Americas came to be on the backs of our ancestors. And especially when they look at that door of no return, it's just like, it's just an amazing experience for them. And it helps them to be grounded in who they are and who their parents are and their ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much, because I saw that the other day. That and you have, and I've noticed in going to those doors in three different countries that I've been to, some people are more connected to the energy and some are not. Some see it in their head. And some are actually just feel it and connect to the spirit of loss and grief and crying. And others can just, it's okay to have a historical experience, but others sense it very spiritual. So that's why I was asking you that. Thank you, Emma. Thank you so very much.
You'll have a variety of experiences just based on where the child is. But then sometimes it takes them a while after they get back home and take all of this in to realize.
Right.
That experience for them, hit them like it would an adult who's done a lot of reading and research. But
right.
After they get, I can remember even when my son and I got back, when we went to Egypt, he said, "I can't believe I was there." You know, of course, I didn't hear this on the trip, but when he got back, he said, "I can't believe I was there."
Wow. Oh, yeah,
yes.
You got caught up in the moment, the spirit, the energy, and it was just so, so big.
Yes.
And you know, the girls that we take are entering the 11th and the 12th grade, and
right.
So it's just, you know, just going to the continent, going to Africa is just a eye-opening experience because they've been fed misinformation on television and in other media outlets. So when they go over there, they see that there's some things that are a lot like here in the States and some things that are different and some values that are different. So it's just really giving them the opportunity to see how big the world is and what they need to do as a result of that experience and how they need to contribute or let their friends know about what's happening on the continent and what they can do to make this world better.
Right. And so do you still have that program?
Well, I volunteer with that program, and I teach the cultural heritage. We've taken girls in 2005, 2007, 2009, and 2011. And 2011, I've decided was my last trip because I had such a great group of girls that I just want to end on a high. But I'm still volunteering with.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. I have a question. Do you take 50-year-olds?
Yes, ma'am. We do. That's why the group. We had girls, but we also had some adults who went as well. It's an outstanding experience. We go to Ghana, and we go to Accra, Kumasi, Cape Coast, and then when we're in Cape Coast, we go to the Cape Coast Dungeon and the Elmina Dungeon. And I really feel like any time you go to Ghana, you need to go to those two dungeons. You can't cut one out. You have to go to those two because, to me, it's just fluff. If you don't visit those two, you're just going over there to fluff and say, well, I've been to Ghana, you know. But you need to
mm-hmm.
go and have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been an amazing show. Oh, this is just wonderful.
Yes. We only have a short period of time left, so our next question is tools that can be used, which we just answered, tools that can be used to keep children with special needs excited about reading. And the last one is tips on using your children as a guide to write a children's book. I'm looking here and I see that we have about 11 minutes left.
Okay. Ephraimaya, would you like to touch on that?
Keeping your child excited? Yes. With keeping the child excited, the main thing is what we all mentioned earlier is paying attention to your child so you know their interests. And as their interests shift, that you can, you know, be able to match that along with them. If you have a child who has a passion about a specific thing and that is maintained, then you know that there's something that child's energy is telling you about him or her. So, for instance, I'll use my grandson again. He loves cars and still loves cars. And so we use the car as a bridge to everything else. So the car has allowed us to teach him all types of concepts, such as big and little, teach him his colors, teach him how to count how many cars do you have. We've bridged it into now he can tell you every car that's on the highway, you know, the make and, you know, of and model of the car. And so that is letting us know, he's telling us in doing that he has an interest in detail. And so we can make sure that we transfer that, bridge it, and bring him to understand the detail and other things, like the wheel is shaped like a circle. What other circles do you see in the environment? The car is yellow. Where is something else yellow that you see? And with the lettering on the car spelling, what is Toyota, you know, take that and, okay, let's spell television or let's spell table. So you bridge their interest into other things, and then you couple the different variety of interests that the child has in things. So another thing is someone mentioned about young boys being interested in dinosaurs and things. So again, you would take that interest that the child may have, you take them to the library, you take them to the bookstore, and you look at books about the dinosaurs. And one of the things I like to say, as much as it's important to buy books for your child and help them to build a library, if families that may not have the resources to do that, you know, take your child and get them their own library card, and then you take them on a regular basis to the library to exchange their own books. One of the things I used to have happen when I was working with younger children is the parents would go to the library and they'd pick out the books and bring them home. No, take your child to the library and let them choose the books that they want. And that'll be another way for them to tell you something else that they may be interested in that you have not discovered by the fact that, you know, you may steer them over here to the books about dinosaurs, but then they see something else. Or you expose them to something else and you'll be surprised that maybe now they want to pick up a book on that topic. And so it's really, really important, you know, the theme here is to pay attention to your child and watch exactly what they're doing and what they may have interest in and then capitalize on that. And it's important to do that in a timely manner because the kids are constantly changing, you know. What they're interested in this month at some ages, they may not even be interested at all in that the next month. And so you have to stay on top of it.
I have one thing I would like to ask Emma, and so that because we're closing out, is Emma, how or Ashira, either one, how would you encourage a parent who would want to self-publish a book or write a book for their child to allow their child to write a book or to write a book about their child? Y'all are experts in the area of self-publishing.
Well, there's a good book by Dan Poynter, P-O-Y-N-T-E-R, on self-publishing. And but it's our, my daughter published the book, we published it for her. But it was a picture of her drawings and about her friends and what have you. And, you know, these days, it depends on how elaborate you want to be. You can go to a copy center and send enough books bound with one of those little spiral deals and put plastic on it, or you can go to elaborate expense or go to a store or some other publishing source that could publish your books. It just depends, you know, just on the number of books that you want to do. But I would suggest that you get that book by Dan Poynter, P-O-Y-N-T-R. But I did want to say one more thing about in terms of building your library. There are sources where you can get books for 25 cents or anywhere from $1 to $0.25 because libraries purged their collection at some point in time, and they have these great library sales. So that's a good time to go and buy books. There are used bookstores. Sometimes you can buy a stack of books by the inch, you know. So there's so many opportunities. And you can find great finds in these dollar stores. I mean, books that I know that I enjoy. Your children can find books there, too. And some of these, sometimes you can find them in stores, in clothing stores, like say like City Trends. They also have a book section. So when you're shopping, just browse the store. You'll be surprised where you can find great books at affordable prices.
Okay. Ms. Emma, will you please give your contact information again?
Yes, it's E as in Emma, S as in Sunday, R as in River, O as in Oprah, D as in David, G as in Great, E as in Elephant, pardon me, R as in River, S as in Sunday, 1@gmail.com.
Oh, pardon me. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Ashira, can you give your information, please?
Surely. It's A as in Apple, T as in Tom, O as in orderly, S as in Shirley, I as in institute, H as in help, W as in work, E as in effort, @yahoo.com.
Okay. Ms. Infulaya?
Yes, my email is fmlyle1@bellsouth.net, and it's spelled E as in egg, S as in fun, U as in umbrella, N as in Nancy, L as in laugh, A as in apple, Y as in yellow, O as in orange, and the number 1@bellsouth.net.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, Amy? Hello.
My information, you can get, you reach me at Y-E, F like in Francis, I, N like in Norma, I, at bellsouth.net, or IIS, IIASK, I went blank for a minute, IIASK, like Sam K, 2005 at yahoo.com for information on the Institute, or go to yayafini.com, Balanced Living. And if you go to my website and you sign up as to be on my mailing list, once a month I write up a beautiful little, what do you call it? Information? No, I don't want to call it information. What's the word that we're using? I'm
blog.
Still fasting. No, book. I went blank. Today's my 20th day of a 30-day juice fast, so my energy is
good. Do you do a cleansing thing? Do you
yes,
cleansing?
Yes, I've been doing it we had a wonderful cleansing group that started with the fast fall equinox fast. It was amazing. We had over 40 people doing the fast. Really, really good. I was surprised, but it was really, really good. But I have a newsletter. That's what I was looking for.
Oh,
a newsletter that I send out to you once a month, and it has all types of new, good little information on different things that you can find. So if you sign up for my newsletter, and I have specials, and go and look at my products. I have some wonderful products. As was said before, I have spiritual soaps. I have sensual scrubs, sensual lotions that we use. We have a following of scrub lovers. My mango ginger sugar Oshun scrub is amazing. We also have different soaps to shift energy. We have different spiritual washes to calm you down, to cleanse your area, to shift your energy in your home and mentally. And so it's a good little website. I'm changing on it. It's been like this for about 6 years. So I'm having it changed, my logo and everything. So I'm looking for some interns. Anyone out there that's interested in doing some internship with me, please contact me. I'm looking for someone who is interested in learning African spirituality or that, or just helping me or assisting me in some of the new ventures that I'm doing. And we can I can mentor, and you can help me in different aspects of my business. Thank you so much. I think that's about it. So I think I'm going to take the last few minutes. Of course, we did not ask you, Ruby, to give us a little insight on your book and where we can get one. And then I am going to close out by doing the meditation again. So, Ruby, you are what's supposed to be part of the show.
Well, everyone else, I just got so excited about hearing everyone else. So I sort of stayed in the background where you tell me I'm not supposed to be, but I like to be there. My book is Yap Yap, The Talking Horse. It's about a little boy who lives on a farm with his father, and he learns that his horse can talk. And the horse gets into all kinds of adventures. And it teaches about morals, values, building character, and things like that. And actually, my next book will probably be coming out. My next children's book will be coming out in about 6 months, probably around the time yours is coming out as well. Yeah, you see me. You can go to my website. You can go to my website. It's www.rubyburke.com, RubyBurke. And you can find my children's book as well as another book that has 20 stories of women who have survived different challenges in their lives. So, and if you need to contact me, my email address is childrensbookworkshop@yahoo.com, childrensbookworkshop@yahoo.com. Okay, we have just over 2 minutes left.
Okay, thank you, Emma and Akira and Efulayo. It was such an honor and a pleasure to have you on board on this very powerful show. I enjoyed it. I know the listeners have enjoyed it as well as those that are going to be listening in archives, because you gave some wonderful tidbits and how to start your own group, how to give children books as gifts, how to use books as party favors, and you gave out lists of names of books that we could use. So thank you so much, Efulayo, for taking out your busy schedule. And so I just want to say thank you, Ruby, for always being on point and on time and multitasking. So I'm going to take us out with the Yemanja meditation again so that we can connect to the nurturing mother in all of us, both male and female.
Okay.
Yemanja Afetu. Afetu Yemanja. Yemanja Afetu. Afetu Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Yemanja. Yemanja Afetu. Afetu Iyami. Yemanja Afetu. Afetu Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Iyami. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Yemanja. Yemanja Olodo. Olodo Yemanja. Good evening, everyone.
Good night, family. Thank you, and have a very blessed week. Thank you very much, Yaya Feeney.
You're welcome.
Good night, family.
Good night. Good night.